Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in today for Larry Mueller, and very pleased to be talking about the 25th annual Eagle Days in Sauk Prairie, which is happening this weekend. Our guests are Jeff Barzin. He has worked as the Director of Field Ecology at the International Crane Foundation for 24 years and has been a volunteer with Fairy Bluff Eagle Council for just as long. For Fairy Bluff Eagle Council, Randy directs the research and monitoring efforts conducted on a population of eagles that winters along the lower Wisconsin River. So, oh, and I said Randy, but I meant Jeb. Jeb, thanks so much for being here.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And Randy Jurwitz has been a wildlife ecologist and administrator in the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources Bureau of Endangered Resources for 32 years. Randy recently retired, but is still a very active volunteer with the Bureau, and he's worked on numerous endangered species recovery programs during his career, including peregrine falcon, trumpeter swan, osprey, gray wolves, and bald eagles. He's helped to organize the Sauk Prairie Eagle Days for the past 25 years. Thanks so much for coming in, Randy.
Judith, it's a pleasure.
So let's talk about the eagles in Wisconsin. Where, you know, where do they come from? Where do they stay? Where do they go to? Jeff?
Well, the eagles in Wisconsin are a fun story. If we talk about the eagles that winter typically along the lower Wisconsin River, pretty much from, the Wisconsin Dells Dam down to just past Lone Rock, those birds are coming from the northern part of Wisconsin, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and perhaps southern Ontario. And they're actually somewhat distinct, as best we can tell, from the birds that are wintering along the Mississippi River. Those birds, when they go north to breed, they're going to Manitoba, even the Northwest Territories, further north than that, or northern Minnesota. So that our the birds that we call our birds in along the lower Wisconsin are kind of a distinct subgroup, and there's actually not that much mixing between the two. There's very few of the birds that winter typically on the Mississippi River that come up to Sauk Prairie. They're a little standoffish down there, you know. So,
well, that's interesting, because I was going to mention that when we did our migrations with Mueller field trip in mid-November to the La Crosse area, we saw a lot of bald eagles, and actually we saw as many as 10. Larry said he saw 10. Everybody else counted 9, but we're giving Larry the benefit of the doubt. We saw as many as 10 bald eagles soaring over the same bluff at the same time. Is that usual behavior?
It can be, both if they have good soaring behavior. Birds, you know, nobody can see a thermal, including birds, even though they have excellent eyesight. And so, but what they can do is they can see other birds who are in that thermal. And so once they see a bird in a thermal, you can all of a sudden have a lot of birds get attracted to it. So that can give you a congregation of birds if there's good soaring environment there. You can also see that when birds are flying into their nighttime roosts, where they actually communally roost or sleep in the same trees or that sort of thing. And so you can often see a congregation of birds that occur towards dusk as they're kind of coming into that roost.
Great. Randy, why don't we go back up a little bit and talk about bald eagles themselves, their size, diet, habits, other interesting things about them.
Well, okay, see, they're one of the largest birds that we have here nesting in the state of Wisconsin. The whooping cranes and sandhill cranes are up there along with them. But you got to imagine a bird that's got a wingspan of, you know, 6 to 7 feet. Huge, beautiful bird. Although they only weigh between, say, 8, 14 pounds or so. The adult females are larger than the adult males. So when you get them side by side, you really can't, there's no difference in the feathers or colors or anything else. But there is a size difference. Helps them partition up the hunting activities better. But they're just beautiful. And when they are riding those thermals, either above the river or on the bluffs, and then swoop down to pick up a fish, it's a really a magnificent sight to see. Some of the people that observe eagles along the river, especially the ones that in the Sauk Prairie area there that are just below the dam, they'll see eagles swoop down and hit the hit the water and then come up and say, oh, they missed. Oh, they missed again. Wow, can't they catch anything? Well, almost every time that they actually go to all that effort, they are actually catching things. But they're small shad. They're only, or parts of shad, because there's an upriver, there's that hydroelectric dam, And every once in a while, it kind of cuts things up, cuts up a little chum there.
Little food processor upstream.
Exactly. Yeah, well put. And they are picking that up. Now, I've seen a video of this, and in slow motion, you watch them come down. They grab that little fish or half a fish, take a few wing flaps to get up off the water, and then pop it in their mouth, you know, like popcorn.
Wow.
And then keep flying. And so,
depending on how good your eyesight is and what point you see them, they may have already enjoyed their snack before you can really focus in on what they might have grabbed or not.
Yes, you know, a lot of people expect them to come up with, you know, some
huge,
big flopping,
yeah,
you know, catfish, bullhead, whatever, occasional walleye, but or northern. But in these wintering situations, they're pretty much living off of, you know, small fish or pieces of small mm-hmm. fish. On a day-to-day basis.
Now,
that's actually good food for wintering eagles, because eagles will steal food from each other. So the only food that is yours is the food that's in your stomach,
right,
not
that
in your
talons. You can get in your mouth before you. Yes.
Exactly. So small morsels.
Kind of like being in a big family, right?
It is exactly like, I'm the youngest. And so,
I'm an only child, so this is all hearsay. But well, it's interesting because one of the things I was wondering about is we've had so little snow so far in the bottom half of the state, really. How does that affect the eagles for eating? Are there more rodents that might be available to them, or do they really focus on fish?
Well, when given the opportunity, bald eagles are pretty much a scavenger. They are a fish hunting eagle, but unlike the golden eagle, which is primarily a predator, bald eagles will also scavenge on other things out there. With the lack of snow this year, just got a message from another retired volunteer, DNR biologist Ron Eckstein, who has run the Eagle Survey Program for the state of Wisconsin for the last 30 years. And he has noticed that there's quite a few, or at least up until the end of December, there were quite a few pairs of eagles that were still hanging around their territories and had not come down, into southern Wisconsin or other places because of the lack of snow statewide. And, you know, in the Sauk Prairie area, you know, Jeb has observed them out in the fields.
These are, even as they're easy questions to ask, they're often complicated answers that come with them.
Sure.
And so eagles are more spread out than they typically would be at this time of year because there's no snow on the upland areas where they feed. So in those agricultural fields and that sort of thing that Randy is referring to. They also are spread out along the river. And so eagles will go to where there is food, but if they have the chance, they'll not congregate. They don't necessarily like to congregate mm-hmm. in wintertime. But if snow and ice force them into smaller and smaller areas that still have food available to them, they will congregate in those areas. And so what we have right now in Wisconsin are birds that are anywhere from on their breeding territories, as Randy described, to birds that have come through on their wintering areas, but they're just spread out over a 30 to 35 mile stretch of river from essentially Prairie du Sac all the way down to Lone Rock. And so even though we have a lot of eagles that are in the area, when they're so spread out, it doesn't look like there are a lot of eagles, as opposed to in a cold winter like what we had last winter when there's a lot of snow and a lot of ice at this time mm-hmm. of winter. And we had roughly the same number of eagles, but they're in a 3 mile stretch of river.
So the colder and more harsh it gets, the closer together they come.
Yep.
And we are talking about bald eagles and Eagle Days, which are coming up this weekend. You can join in by calling 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org. Are you an eagle watcher? What fascinates you about them? And have you gone to Eagle Days in the past? Or maybe you're planning to go this year? Give us a call. Amanda Magnus is screening calls, and we'll get you into us. And also, there are details about this weekend's events on the Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show. There's a link to Eagle Days on the Fairy Bluff Eagle Council site, which is Fairy Bluff EagleCouncil.org, and Ferry is F-E-R-R-Y, Ferry Bluff EagleCouncil.org, and we'll definitely talk more about that upcoming event. So what is the history of eagles in Wisconsin, of bald eagles specifically? Has the population been pretty consistent over the years, Randy?
No. Good news, bad news. The bad news was that due to the widespread use of DDT in the 1950s and 60s, the eagle population in Wisconsin and throughout the nation really crashed. We in Wisconsin here were down to only about 100 active eagle nests in the state by the early 1970s. And that was the time when a private individual by the name of Chuck Sindelar started going out and counting them with the help of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And it's kind of a hobby of his. And for years, Chuck Sindelar would fly with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service counting bald eagles before the Wisconsin DNR and the state of Wisconsin got our Endangered Species Act, before our bureau was formed, before the DNR basically got into the endangered species business. So Chuck Sindelar was the founding father of bald eagle surveys in the state. Well, he would count 100 or so nests, throughout the 70s. But then with the banning of DDT in 72, the population started, the environment started cleaning up, the population started to rebound, the eggs that the eagles were laying were no longer as thin as, so that they would crush them themselves while they're incubating them, and the population started to rebound. And so we had an incredible increase in the population year by year, every year, since the mid-70s, to the point where we went from 100 nests in the 70s to 1,300 nests this past year.
Wow, that's really significant.
It really is. And because of the increase in Wisconsin's population and eagles throughout the country, the Wisconsin delisted the bald eagle off our list in 1997. And finally, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service delisted them nationwide in 2007. So they are no longer an endangered or threatened species, still highly protected, but a real success story for conservation efforts here in the state, success story for the Endangered Species Act, both the federal law and the state law, and a real feather in the cap of all those people out there in Wisconsin who donate to the Endangered Resources Fund that gives the DNR the money to do these types of recovery efforts.
So it sounds like it was really a success story of also the public at large, mostly one individual, but I'm sure others, who really worked with the governmental bodies too.
Exactly, yep. And the people that supported the program. And that's what's been so rewarding, I guess, for the Endangered Species Program in the state.
And we are talking about bald eagles, and specifically the Eagle Days coming up this weekend. We will talk more after this look at the news. There are few things as awe-inspiring as seeing a bald eagle soaring high above us. There's something about them that will stop most of us in our tracks to watch. And we are so fortunate to have them right here in Wisconsin. Hi, I'm Judith Sears Poisson, sitting in for Larry Mueller. Happy to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I know for me, seeing bald eagles soaring overhead or feeding on a sandbar in a river is always a thrill. And this weekend marks the 25th annual Eagle Days event in Sauk Prairie. Jeb Barzin and Randy Jerwitz are here until 12:30 to tell us all about it. Are you an eagle watcher? Do you remember when you first saw one? Join in with your questions or comments by calling 1-800-642-1234 and visit our Facebook page to share comments, questions, or even photos of any eagles you've been lucky enough to see. Like the page while you're there for regular updates on upcoming show topics. More on eagles right after this look at the news. I hope you'll stay with us. Great to have you along with us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Judith Sears Poisson, sitting in today for Larry Mueller, and very happy to be talking with Jeb Barzin and Randy Jerwitz about Eagle Days happening this weekend and talking about bald eagles in Wisconsin. It's such a wonderful resource that we have here and that we're able to enjoy. We do have some folks on the phone that I want to get to soon, but first, Jeb, let's talk a little bit about Eagle Days and what's going to be going on there.
Well, Randy can go through the schedule because he's been on the organizing committee, and I am not, so I'm not going to blaspheme about the scheduled events because I'll get them wrong. But I think one of the things that I wanted just to link our conversation before the break with leading into Eagle Days is that the survey of breeding birds that Randy talked about, if you think about it, in this next summer when that survey, or spring, when that survey is done, it will be the 40th year. that the survey is being done. And you can only describe the things that have been happening in the dramatic success story that is bald eagles in Wisconsin. And
really assess what's working and what's not.
Right, because of that partnership that you identified. And Bald Eagle Days haven't been going for 40 years, but they have been going for 25 years, and they very much reflect this partnership between the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, the Sauk Prairie Chamber of Commerce, so businesses that are very interested in ecotourism, and then a volunteer organization like Fairy Bluff Eagle Council, which is a group that's interested in that exact resource. But that same sort of partnership that you talked about with the breeding birds is really an important part of Eagle Days, as well as the longevity of the event itself. And I think those are really remarkable things that kind of set the stage for what we'll celebrate on Saturday.
And Randy, I do want you to go through the schedule for us, but you've helped to organize it from the very first year. How has it changed over the years? When you were first organizing the first Eagle Days, you know, did people get it? Was there that kind of excitement and buy-in from the very start?
Well, the first couple of years, there were times when the spotting scopes outnumbered the people. They were there to
no competition
them.
To step up.
Not much. But as the partnership grew, the chamber and the Fairy Bluff, and the publicity and the support, you know, we now bring, you know, thousands of people into town. The initial Birds of Prey show Friday night, which will be repeated twice on Saturday, live Birds of Prey, so people are guaranteed seeing bald eagles, not only at the River Arts Center, at the events that are being staged there, the kids' activities, face painting, other things like that, the food court. The Jeb will be giving a presentation, along with Pat Manthe of the DNR, on the status and biology of eagles here in Wisconsin, and then the live Birds of Prey show from the Raptor Center out of the University of Minnesota. Then we're at noon, basically, it's scheduled from 12:30 to 1:30, there will be guaranteed you're going to see a bald eagle live and up close, because Marge Gibson of the Raptor Education Group Incorporated at Antigo is going to bring down several adult bald eagles, and she will show them to the crowd about as far away as you and I are right now.
Which is not far at all.
No. And then release them back to the wild.
Wow.
She's rehabilitated them. Going back to the River Arts Center, there's going to be yet another live Birds of Prey show, and then the whole day will be topped off with a humorous and educational presentation by David Stokes about, you know, wild animals and wild animals adaptations. And then throughout the day, there's going to be free bus tours. Oh, yeah, free. Did I mention free?
That's great.
The whole event is free. The free bus tours, so all people have to do is show up into town, find the River Arts Center. There'll be signage pointing the way. And we can get onto a bus, and we will drive you around to the different places to view eagles, and drive you at noontime. We'll have two buses going down to the VFW park to see the release of the rehabilitated eagles.
Wow. And all those details are on the FairyBluffEagleCouncil.org website, and there is a link to that.
Judith, if I can just jump
sure.
in, one of the things 25 years ago that has changed in Eagle Days is this is a radio program, and so people don't notice, but there has been a change in the grayscale related to Aunt Randy's head. And so he has fledged children and aged and actually retired from the Department of Natural Resources in those 25 years. But those are the sorts of things that occur when you do long-term
projects.
There you
go. Well, we're glad to have both of you involved for so many years and you know, really shepherding this project along. Tom in Cross Plains has something to add, so let's go there. Hi, Tom. Hello?
There.
Hi.
Hi, I live out just side of Cross Plains, have feeders out, and this fall a Cooper's hawk has taken up residence, and they will be trying to pick the birds off of the bird feeder. So therefore, of course, my amount of bird feed that's getting eaten has gone way down. And whenever I don't see any birds at the bird feeder, I go out to try to find the Cooper's hawk. Kind of hard to find. In the last 2 weeks, I've seen a bald eagle sitting up in the bur oak tree three different times, almost looking like it's hanging out to feed off the bird feeder. I can't believe a bald eagle would be able to be effective to either catch a bird or a squirrel. Do bald eagles do that?
there's always great peril in answering a question about the food habits of any bird, and certainly for bald eagles, because as soon as you make a statement about what they will or will not do, somebody will call into this program who said, well, I just saw.
And probably have a video to prove it.
And probably have a video to prove it and correct you. But in general, what Randy said earlier in the program is typical of eagle diets, in that they'll eat carrion. They will try to become predators and eat live animals, but typically it's on a very opportunistic basis. So they'll eat waterfowl typically when especially injured waterfowl from a hunting season or that sort of thing, or birds that are crippled in some other way they'll take advantage of. But every once in a while, and especially even in a bird feeding situation, they are unlikely to be chasing birds at your bird feeder like the Cooper's hawk will do. A Cooper's hawk is an avian feeding specialist.
And now, would the Cooper's hawk maybe be leaving some bits and pieces that the eagle would then go and clean up?
Yes and no. The Cooper's hawk might leave some bits and pieces, but a bald eagle, for it to be comfortable to feed on carrion that's on the ground, needs a big open space. Mm. As Randy said, they have a 7-foot wingspan. They're not something that can take off from the ground with lightning speed. So they're safety means that they have to feed in fairly big open fields where they can see a predator coming from a great distance, and so they have plenty of time to take flight and get to an elevation that is safe for them, or get to a tree. So they don't, they're unlikely to come to your bird feeder in that way. However, one of these examples where there's a change is, long ago when I worked on a wildlife information line, somebody asked a question similar to yours. And I went through this explanation about fish eating and yada, yada, yada. And the person paused and said, huh, well, I live on the St. Croix River and I feed ducks in my backyard with corn. And every morning I watch a bald eagle fly down my residential street below the roof line. And it gets to my house, it banks hard to the right, flies over the roof, scares the ducks, and will nail one in the air. And I just wanted to know if that's unusual.
Wow.
And after a pause from me, I said, well, yeah, it is. So eagles will take advantage of different opportunities. They're very opportunistic. And so in that case, that is an eagle feeding at your bird feeder.
Well, it is wonderful to be able to see eagles flying around Madison, Middleton, Cross Plains, because, you know, 30 years ago, you barely saw them other than up by Sauk. And 40 years ago, you didn't even see them there.
You are absolutely right, and we're really blessed.
That's great. Thank you so much for sharing that, Tom. That must be amazing to go out there. I would be excited about the Cooper's hawk, and I'd be just over the moon about the bald eagle. So actually, kind of a similar question to go along with that. Jim in Madison emailed, is the rising eagle population due to natural occurrence or the intervention of man? And you talked about the efforts to count the eagles and figure out what was going on and identify the toxins that were affecting them, but that doesn't quite get us to the point where we see that dramatic turnaround. What steps were taken that really helped the eagle population recover? And is it a success story throughout the country, or are we unique in any way?
Well, it is a success story throughout the country, and that's why the Fish and Wildlife Service was able to take them off the endangered species list nationwide. But here in Wisconsin, and similar to Michigan and Minnesota, there's been a very determined effort to help bald eagles as best we can. Now, cleaning up the environment and cleaning up their food supply and getting rid of the pesticides was the basis for it all. But in addition to that, you know, they still needed to have successful nesting going on, and protecting those nest sites was very important. And so throughout the years, and this is primarily done by local wildlife managers, the Bureau of Endangered Resources works, you know, hand in glove with the Bureau of Wildlife Management in a number of different recovery programs, and this is one of them, where local wildlife managers would try. You know, we'd find the eagle nests, and then based on that, develop management plans for each and every nesting territory. There may be several nests within that mm-hmm. territory, but within that, we would manage that territory. And the first thing is to know where they are, hence the need for the survey. Second thing is protect those large, usually white pines, but the super canopy trees that they nest in. Protect those and give them the nesting habitat that they needed to produce the young. That have since grown up, come back to Wisconsin, nested here in Wisconsin, you know, near and around their parents. And one of the real great parts of the recovery effort is that bald eagles have now spread from being a primarily northern Wisconsin animal to being a central Wisconsin, southern Wisconsin, mm-hmm. Mississippi River, Wisconsin River, Lake Michigan, Fox River nesting animal. So they've expanded the numbers and the range throughout the state. So it's been a real concerted effort by the Department of Natural Resources to help this animal. Now, we've never done any relocations or translocations in the state, although we've helped nationwide by giving some of our extra young to other places in the state, other states, rather. And so in that way, we've helped out with the national effort to recover eagles here, you know, from based on the population that we have here in Wisconsin.
And how far south in the United States do eagles get to?
Well, eagles breed all the way down to Florida, but they're not necessarily the same populations. Mm-hmm. Our migratory eagles often will go pretty far south, all the way as far south as Arkansas and in the lower Mississippi Valley, basically. What we've learned, for example, with our sock prairie birds is that depending on once they'll come back to the same winter area year after year. But once they're there, depending on the conditions and weather like this, they might be much further north, as far north as the Chippewa River, Stevens Point, places like that. And if it gets really, really cold and there's a lot of ice and snow, they actually might then go further south to Dubuque or to even further south along the Mississippi River than that, so that they'll really move depending on what the environmental conditions are, even though they'll come back to Sauk Prairie every year.
We are talking about bald eagles and about Eagle Days going on this weekend with Jeb Barzin and Randy Jerwitz. If you would like to join in, you can call 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org. And Kim in Park Falls is on the phone. Let's go there next. Hi, Kim.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My husband and I are loggers, so we have a... the great opportunity of seeing lots of different wildlife every day of the week. And over the last couple months, it's actually happened over the last 3 years, but the last couple months we've had eagles that I can actually hear their wings, that's how close they are to me. And they'll come.
We're losing you, Kim, unfortunately, but I think we've got the question. So it sounds like eagles are coming very close over the heads of the human beings. Randy, do you have an idea why they might be doing that?
No. Well, no, but congratulations on being able to have a job that allows you to witness that type of a phenomenon out there in nature.
Because it certainly seems like, I mean, in my limited experience, that we often even underestimate how large eagles are because they're so far above us that, you know, it's hard to have a perspective of how large they are. So it seems pretty unusual that they would be that low. But Jeb, you were talking about that eagle that was cruising along under the roof line to go get his duck lunch every day.
Well, or it could have been a her. Eagles are very individualistic birds, so some birds will accommodate people much, much better than will others. So some birds will be very wary of human disturbance and other birds will not. And that leads to a lot of confusion about what is good disturbance or acceptable disturbance for the birds and what is not. But there are two instances that I can think of where you might predictably see birds flying very close to you. And one is on their breeding areas. As Randy had said earlier, the birds are territorial. And so if you're in that territory and birds are remaining on their territory, and you might be in a place where the birds are going to fly very low because you're close to another place that they want to be. So in the northern situation right now, but still in eagle territory, you might have very small areas of open water where the birds are consistently still finding food. They'll still stay there because they want to defend their territory and feed in that open water area. But if the area where you're operating is close to that, you might see the birds flying very low over you because they're going to that feeding area.
You're on the flyway.
Right. And then another area where you'll often see that is if, especially on winter areas, these nighttime places where eagles sleep, which we call communal roosts, they will often have relatively repeatable pathways that the birds will fly to come into those roosts. And oftentimes there can be houses on that flight path that will be very, birds will fly very low over you on a very predictable basis as long as they're using that roost.
Thanks for that call, Kim. And let's go to Tom in Oshkosh next. Hi, Tom.
Good morning. Oh, good afternoon. I just wanted to report that I live on the shore of Lake Winnebago, about 5 miles south of Oshkosh, and we've been seeing upwards of 20 eagles on the lake shore for about a month now, sitting in trees, out on the ice, flying over open areas of the lake. They appear to be eating floating dead shad. And this is quite unusual. We've always had a few eagles in the neighborhood, but this is the first time we've ever seen them congregate to this extent.
That must be great to see, Tom.
Oh, it is. It's wonderful. We got up this morning and looked out on the ice in front of our house, and we counted 7 eagles sitting on the ice.
Wow.
Well, the same reasons that exist why the birds are in Sauk Prairie during the winter can be used to explain the situation that you're seeing, Tom, in that the birds are interested in finding food, and they'll go wherever there's food that's readily available. And shad have very dynamic populations, so they boom and bust. And there are times where shad will become super abundant in places, and then they'll have a die-off. And so the food, albeit dead shad, are available for eagles, and they'll find that, and they'll stay there as long as they've got the conditions that they like. Once Winnebago would freeze up, you would see the birds move on. And like I said, that they're very responsive to the conditions throughout the whole state, really, during the wintertime, that will influence where they're going to be at any one point in time. And so you can see that ebb and flow. These might be the same birds that winter in the Sauk Prairie area, and you've just short-stopped them at Lake Winnebago while there's food available. But as soon as that food is unavailable because of ice or they've eaten it all, then they'll move down to Sauk Prairie.
Dennis in Kaukauna is also seeing some eagles. Hi, Dennis.
How you doing?
Good.
I just had a quick comment and maybe a question about the eagles here in Kaukauna. At Thousand Islands Nature Center, are you familiar with it?
Yes.
Okay. I noticed, I've only lived in Kaukauna for 3 years, but the number that keep coming back seems to be increasing. This year, for example, actually just last week, I counted at least 26. I may have overcounted a couple, so I'll say 30, but at least 26 I know for sure, just as I was passing by the river there in Kaukauna. And I've started to see them, for example, at the top of the telephone pole in my backyard, and I live near downtown. Is there a particular reason, like salmon, do they come back to the same place that they're born? So if the eagles are born there, that's the same place they come back to, and there's just been that degree of success where the population has expanded so quickly?
Well, they don't necessarily come back to exactly the same territory because their parents are probably still in that territory. But with banding records and such, we know that they are coming back, to Wisconsin, to northern Wisconsin, and the southern Wisconsin birds who are growing up, with a lot of people around. And that's one thing that has allowed the population to increase as much as it has, is that, once upon a time, the bald eagles was a very wilderness animal and only found on remote lakes in northern Wisconsin. But as those lakes become more and more populated with people, the young that were raised on those lakes grew up with people. And so they could very comfortably move into more populated areas of the state because they grew up having, people around. And the Kaukauna area around there is just another example of that, where they're no longer this wilderness animal. They're used to people and can adapt to having people around. Now, the increasing population, Dennis, you look at the fact that we had 1,300 nests, each one, many of those nests are successful. We're producing over 1,000 young a year. In addition to the 2,000 or 3,000 adults that are out there, so there are a lot of birds, and in a fairly mild winter, they don't have to migrate. They only migrate as far as they really need to. And if they're not pushed out of the state by the weather, then they'll stay, you know, as close to the breeding territory as they can.
Thanks for the call. And we have time for a quick comment from Sean in Columbus. Hi, Sean.
Well, thank you so much for accepting my call. And I don't have a question, but my dad was the original public intervener for the state of Wisconsin. And he was very much a part of the cleanup in the environment. And it is amazing to hear on Wisconsin Public Radio this conversation and this celebrating the 25 years with the Eagle Watch, and as well as seeing eagles soar in Partyville and in Marquezan. And I just wanted to state that and put that out there because it's pretty amazing, especially now because my dad has recently passed away.
Oh, Sean, thank you so much for sharing that. And it really is a wonderful success story that I think we should all be celebrating. And one way to celebrate that is going to Eagle Days. Very quickly, we have the information up on the Facebook page. It's www.ferrybluffeaglecouncil.org, and ferry is like the boat, F-E-R-R-Y. Jeb and Randy, why don't, in just a couple seconds, why don't you each give us one good reason to come out to Eagle Days?
Well, just like with your father, Sean, people can make a difference.
Great. And Randy?
It's free.
There you go. It's wonderful. There you go. Jeb Barzin and Randy Jerwitz have been with us talking about eagles and Eagle Days. Thanks so much for coming in. And I hope you'll stay tuned. Tomorrow at 11, Larry will be back, and John Viner of the Energy Center of Wisconsin and Chad Spate of Chad's Carpentry will be here to talk about energy-efficient home improvement and repair. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Thanks for listening.